And three openings this weekend, two Rodgers and Hammerstein and one play a little bit later. In about half an hour, we'll spend time with A.R. Gurney's play, which opens at stage left, and that is Sylvia. But right now, it is to take a quick trip to the South Pacific via the second show of the season for Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater. Jed Davis, the artistic director of Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater.
Good morning.
Old South Pacific. It's easy to just kind of say good old South Pacific, but why did it rise to the top right now?
This is one of those shows for me that it completely defies convention to call it good old anything, because it has continued to stay, and I think increasingly relevant throughout its existence. You know, where some, personal opinion shows like Oklahoma get a little bit hokier the farther away we get from its origins, South Pacific gets, in my mind, even more poignant the farther away we get from it. And watching this particular production, which incidentally has a song that we've added to it that was a Rodgers and Hammerstein song, My Girl Back Home, which hasn't been featured in any of the local productions. This one feels very immediate. Having said all that, it's also quite the score is to die for. It's timeless, and it's those songs that everybody knows whether they know them or not. So when you have a director like Tyler, who's so adept at making things feel so alive and fresh and real, and now combine that with an exceptional piece of theater to begin with, you have a really flatter it to say a revolutionary experience.
Sure. Well, and I guess the obvious in the now more than ever, the immigration and, you know, different cultures, and
there's a lot of the fear of the other is a theme that winds its way through South Pacific very significantly, which is something that I think is really important to address societally.
Well, let's bring in the director, Tyler Krieg, what is your own relationship with South Pacific?
I'm a little new to South Pacific as of the last year. I think the biggest thing that I come into the process bringing is just to be as true to the text and as honest as I can with the process. And that's what I've told my actors and designers, that we're going to stick to what we can do best. And I think as humans, the best way that we can tell a story is honestly. And so going through the process in character relations and relationships and telling the song story and the through lines, it's important to be honest with this one.
Well, let's get to a song, some would say the song from South Pacific, although you could say that about 11 or 12 of them, but the song that for so many people, including me, has defined a moment in one's life. Let's go to our studio where we will have the pianist, Jenny Twitchell, and then we will hear as Emile Debeck Brandon Michael singing the song from South Pacific. Here it is.
Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger. A stranger across a crowded room, and somehow you know even then, that somewhere you'll see her again. Enchanted evening, someone may be laughing, you may hear her laughing across a crowded room, and night after night, as strange as it seems, the sound of her laughter will sing in your dreams. Who can explain it? Who can tell you why? Fools give you reasons. Wise men never try. Some enchanted evening, when you find your true love, when you feel her call you across a crowded room, then fly to her side and make her your own. Or all through your life you may dream all alone. Once you have found her, never let her go. Once you have found her,
from our studio, Brendan Michael as Emil Debeck, singing Yes, Some Enchanted Evening from South Pacific. Tyler Krieg is with me, and it's clearly the World War II happening. As you do the production, are you, you know, evoking as much World War II set and everything as you can on the truck stage?
Definitely. You know, it's difficult to evoke the openness and vastness of the South Pacific in a little theatrical space. But I think that that's the goal, is to make it as open and as beautiful and as it is. And our designers have done a gorgeous job of that. Jay Karkoff, who's doing our lighting design, and Aaron Dizelski, who's doing our scenic, have really made it seem expansive and open it up to the actors to be able to play.
Great. Well, anyway, Brendan, it's such a great song to sing, isn't it?
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your experience with it? Have you always sung this song?
Oh, no.
And have you done the role before?
I've never done the role before. I've always kind of stayed away from the song because it's quite low in my range. But I've always loved it. And I've always been a huge fan of Rodgers and Hammerstein. And I've sung it now quite a bit since getting cast in this show. So I have a very, interesting relationship with it.
And speaking of theater and Rodgers and Hammerstein, have you done other Rodgers and Hammerstein roles?
Yeah, I was Curly in Oklahoma about 10-something years ago, but that was the last Rodgers and Hammerstein that I've done.
Okay. And then the love interest, among so many other interesting things, the girl from Arkansas, Whitney Miller, as Ensign Nellie Forbush. Good morning.
Good morning, Whitney. Thanks for having us.
What about your relationship with South Pacific? Have you known it for a while?
I have. I grew up in a really musical family, and so I grew up watching a lot of old Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals. This is also my first time doing South Pacific. Funny enough, Oklahoma was my last Rodgers and Hammerstein as well. I was 8-0 Annie.
And were either of your Oklahomas here or elsewhere?
No, mine was in Alaska.
Yeah. Mine was in Montana.
Yeah, let's get the quick bio. We usually do this later in an interview, but Whitney, as long as you're talking, tell me a bit about you and your career so far.
So far, I am pursuing a BFA in acting at the University of Montana in Missoula, Montana, with minors in vocal performance and dance as well. I just finished a national tour with the Montana Repertory Theater for 5 months on the road. We did Barefoot in the Park. And so I'm going into my senior year this fall. I will graduate next May. And then who knows what will be next? Maybe Seattle, maybe New York, maybe somewhere else.
But Montana just is so supportive of the arts in general and theater in particular, isn't it?
You know, Missoula is a really, it's an interesting little hubbub of a lot of new artists and a lot of work definitely around there. And it's cool to see how it bleeds into the Coeur d'Alene area and the Seattle area and how many similar faces I've seen and how many people we have in common. Yeah.
Have you done the stuff at Big Fork too? Or?
You know, I grew up going to a lot of shows up there, but I have not performed at Big Fork. I have not.
Yeah, and then back to you, Brendan. What What's your career path so far?
Man, how much time you got? Well, I started acting when I was very young, and I've been kind of had a professional career at one point, but now I'm a daddy. I moved to Coeur d'Alene area from Fairbanks, Alaska, where I lived for 10 years, and I've been in this area for about 2 years now, or possibly even less. Gosh, all my Facebook anniversary things are coming up, so that must mean probably a little bit less. But anyway, yeah, I started a vocal studio in Idaho, and so that's kind of my main focus at this point. I continue to do shows. I do a lot with Opera Coeur d'Alene and Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater. Sure.
And so with your vocal studio, you're scratching out a living in the arts.
Doing my best, yeah, absolutely. It helps that, you know, I have a loving, supportive wife. Otherwise, I'd probably be, you know, under the bridge somewhere, but
sure.
Singing for change.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the two issues, because it's pretty interesting of the writing of this show, because this relationship between Nellie and Emil is not only, well, it's a lot of differences. It's cultural, it's age, and yet they're part of our civilization. Any of you jump in and talk about this relationship. The first thing is the obvious, the beautiful young woman and the older man. Is that an honest relationship? Is he some lecherous creep, you know, or perceived as that? What is this story?
I think the script handles that really deftly. Mm-hmm. A number of the older male characters mentioned, you know, it's weird getting old, and you know, some of the younger female characters are saying, you know, I think it's good to have an older man, and then the guys that are sort of in the middle, like, well, I'm having a rough day today. So I mean, it's addressed, but it's addressed definitely. I think the important thing to remember is that they're in this pressure cooker situation on an island, so yeah. it's sort of, you know, what is there? I mean, what is actually available to us? And we have this sort of microcosm of worlds that we have to work with, and you know, as tends to result when we're in pressurized situations, you know. We might take leaps that we wouldn't take otherwise. And in any case, I think, you know, from a dramatic storytelling standpoint, the relationship certainly makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Whitney, let's talk about Nellie's conflicts, because, you know, she's the young, beautiful Navy nurse or whatever her gig is there. But she's, you know, surrounded by all kinds of men, and it's this old planter guy. Let's talk about this relation, this attraction.
I think the script and the text does a beautiful job giving their relationship substance. So I think it's more than just, oh, well, this makes sense. And he's got money and he's established and he's set up. Even though I think those things are initially attractive to her, I think the script does a beautiful job of giving them a legitimate connection. And I think there's a point where she says, we're the same kind of people fundamentally, you and me. And I think that speaks so much to them as people. And I think there's almost like a childlike quality about Emil. I think he's got a very young spirit. I think they just grow this beautiful relationship.
And then the plot thickens when the girl from Arkansas has to encounter the interracial kids.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that a little
bit. Yeah, it's such an interesting moment that we've talked about with Tyler. And I think there's this politeness about her until there's not. And I think, you know, it's kind of nature versus nurture is also what we've talked about a lot in rehearsals. And, you know, I think it's really important to talk about just in the climate that we're at in our country and what's happening. But I think Nellie is a product of her time. And I think this play is in a way kind of a time capsule in that way. But in the same way, I think it's very timeless as we face so many racial issues that are still very prevalent today.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's important for people to see and to talk about, even though it's very uncomfortable initially.
Yeah.
But
so the obvious centerpiece relationship of South Pacific, of Emil and Nellie, but there's much more. In a little bit, we're going to get a song from you, but Tyler, let's bring you back in and talk about some of the other relationships and conflicts, obviously, you know, the Liu and
Cable.
And Cable, yeah. So talk a little bit about the other things going on.
You know, it's funny. I think we've talked a lot about this as well. There's this beautiful kind of dialogue between Nelly and Emil and Cable right before You've Got to Be Carefully Taught, where there's a lot of mirroring happening. And this is when Nelly is saying that I can't be with you and I don't know why. I think it's born in me. And the song right after that is You've Got to Be Carefully Taught, because Cable's in the same situation. And I think maybe just gets to the conclusion a little bit faster. And so it's this wonderfully well-written piece, seeing the whole thing, is just this awesome dialogue about what that means to be where they are in this time, and really what that means to be where we are right now. And I think that they're doing an absolutely beautiful job of kind of charming that off. And it's a hard piece to do. And I think that oftentimes there's these beautiful songs that go around South Pacific that sometimes make you forget about the more difficult times. And I'm really excited for people to remember this kind of stuff that comes up, and remember the depth that the show has, that may have been forgotten.
And now that we've been all public radio appropriate and talked about all this depth, talk about your two choruses.
My choruses?
Yeah, the men and the women.
Yep, they're, I think that they're really the centerpiece of the story in a way. They encapsulate the in-between place that these people are in. They're not really in the war, but they're not really out of it. They're kind of safe on their island until they're not, until they go to the war. And I think there's this beautiful moment during Operation Alligator, which is the end when they all leave, that we see these people that have wanted for so long to do something, to not be bored anymore, get this chance to go away and get this chance to move out and finally get into the place that they've gone to the war for. And I think that that is a relationship that happens within this entire show, is everybody is kind of waiting for something to happen. And while they're waiting, they get these beautiful moments that they wouldn't have expected. And I think that that happens in everybody's life, is when you're waiting for something, these gorgeous moments come out that you wouldn't have expected if you weren't waiting for something and you weren't trying to go somewhere.
And funny moments too.
Yes,
and just there's some real distinct comedy. I think that comes out of that. Like, it's almost like we gotta laugh. We gotta do these ridiculous, over the top stuff just because we, like Tyler was saying, we have to do something. And you know, sort of getting away from the public radio decorum, as you mentioned. Like, there is some raunchy, silly comedy in the show that's just, you know, and it's well placed in the script because it makes us laugh when we need as an audience to laugh. But it's also, I mean, you can really see where these people are coming from. I know some of the stupidest, funniest things I've ever done in my own life have been during the most stressful times. So I think, I mean, there's a lot of like this sort of simmering feeling to the company, and there's so much underscoring that really really feeds into that from the orchestra as well.
South Pacific, which opens tomorrow night, this Thursday night, runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon, and then it's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the following 2 weeks, so that then it closes on the 30th. Let's send Emil and Nelly out to the studio to try to work out some problems here. In the show, in the song, This Is How It Feels, Jenny Twitchell is at the piano, and we're going to get this really kind of turning point duet from South Pacific.
This is how it feels, living on a hillside. Here we are, just like two old married people. Our guests have gone home and we're all alone.
This is what I need. This is what I've longed for. Someone young and smiling here upon my heel.
Emil, you know, my mother says that we have nothing in common. But she's wrong. She's very wrong. We have something in common, something very much in common.
Yes, we are both in love.
Yes, but more than that, we're the same kind of people, you and me, fundamentally. We get excited about things, we appreciate things. It's really quite exciting when two people are like this. We're not blasé, you know what I mean?
Yes, we are both knuckleheads. We are cockeyed optimists.
I hear the human race is falling on its face.
And hasn't very far to go.
But every whippoorwill is selling me a pill and telling me it just ain't so.
I could say life is just a bowl of jello and appear more intelligent and smart. But I'm stuck like a dope with a thing called hope, and I can't get it out of my heart. Not this heart.
From South Pacific, this is How It Feels, sent for us by Brendan Michael as Emil and Whitney Mueller as Nellie. It opens tomorrow night and runs through the 30th, the second show of the season for Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater.